Out and about on a Monday. Welcome in to Ben and Woods here on 97.3 The Fan. This is a little bit different. And, Pauly, I've got a bit of a dilemma before we get started. Guttural scream. Obviously.
I mean,
they only split four games against the Cardinals. Plus, we're here at a nice country club. And I don't know if you're allowed to do guttural screams at
a
country club.
Okay, so you can do a muted guttural
like a golf guttural scream.
Or, like, we could, like, whisper,
yeah,
scream.
Like, one, two, three.
Yeah! I don't think we've pissed anybody off with that.
I think we're pretty good, actually.
Okay.
good morning, everybody. Yeah, it is Ben and Paul this morning as Woods hits vacation number four or five, whatever, on his endless summer
Dude.
Of fun.
Must be nice to be Stephen Woods.
He is on his way to Kauai, Hawaii this morning, but will us at least supposed to be joining us the rest of the week from, you know, he took the equipment, quote unquote. We made sure that he packed
until
it.
His bag mysteriously gets lost again.
But we are actually live here. They're getting ready for the Salute to Heroes golf tournament we've been telling you about the past few weeks. It's not started yet, but they're staging all the carts out in front of us here at Loma Santa Fe Country Club. It's a beautiful morning, very comfortable up here in the North County. And we're looking forward to the next 4 hours talking Padres baseball and doing what we do on a Monday, but just kind of out here outside and enjoying the nice San Diego summer here in July. We've got the little overcast weather to keep us cool as the sun comes up this morning. But before we do anything else, and we'll get into Padres in a little bit, I thought you should probably know, since we're sitting here at Loma Santa Fe, Woods often points out that I'm kind of a country club sort of guy and was always that way growing up as a kid.
Woods points out that you're a country club you're a country club kind of guy.
And he likes to point it out. But when you, like the history of Ben being a country club guy, right here. My dad joined Loma Santa Fe Country Club probably back in 1980. And like my first country club experience came right here where we're looking out. Like, my first golf lesson was right out there on the range in front of us. The old pro here, who was absolutely beloved, Lester Hayashi, gave me my first golf lessons when I was here. I learned to swim at the pool that's right over there where you walked in. There's a swimming pool.
I saw that. There were people doing laps at like 5 or 5
very early, getting up and going. My very first swimming lessons took place right here at Loma Santa Fe. And, of course, what's the favorite thing for any kid? I mean, you've been to a couple of country clubs before. Can you guess what the absolute best thing for a kid at a country club is? It's right over there.
What is over there?
That's the snack bar.
The snack bar.
Yes.
I was looking at the tennis
courts. You are always trying to get your dad to take you over to the
snack shack,
bar. The snack bar. To get something to eat, you know, as many times as possible while you are out here. If he's playing or I'm playing, I'm taking a lesson or something. Really, the whole point of it was to eventually make your way to the snack bar, whether it was before, after, or during. So this is definitely a formative part of my youth, probably from like age 5 or 6 to like 11. I used to come out here a lot, play this course, and there's a little executive par 3 course just across the street where I played my first 100 rounds of golf when I was growing up as a kid and first learning the game. So this is kind of a cool spot. I haven't been here much in the last 30 years or so, but there's definitely some nostalgia in the air for me to be here for this this golf tournament this morning. And they haven't started yet, none of the players, but there'll be some of the celebrities that should be around later this morning, and probably check in with a couple of those guys as they get ready to tee it off. Course looks like it's in beautiful shape. I heard they had their big member guest over the weekend, so the greens look pristine.
Yeah, it looks
should
incredible.
Be a really, really nice day out here. But
I'm jealous of everybody getting ready to play.
I know. I played golf all weekend, so I'm actually
kind of
golfed out. Had a pretty successful weekend actually at the GOAT. Played in their annual Herdsman 2-day tournament with my buddy Scott, and we came through yesterday. We won all of our matches. We won our flight. Made it to the final horse race championship, which is like the big, like, final four holes with the final teams that are alive. It's alternate shot. Everybody's watching. And I must say, Pauly,
pressure's on.
I'm used to, you know, performing in front of other people, being on television and radio, but not in an athletic endeavor.
Right.
And playing golf in front of, like, I don't know, 75, 80 people who are watching every shot. Like,
it's terrifying.
I was, like, really nervous. We managed to birdie the first hole, which was pretty cool. So we got to the second hole. We parred that one. Scott hit an amazing shot. If you've ever been to Goat Hill Park, number two is one of the toughest par threes you're ever going to see. He hit the. He was the only one that was right there on the green, about 20 feet away. So he got through, got to the third hole. Hit a pretty good drive and second shot, but I kind of left my putt about 4 feet short, and we missed it. So we were eliminated with a bogey. But finished top six or so in the tournament, won our flight, won some money, had a really, really good time this weekend. So that was really enjoyable. Now I'm back here at a golf course this morning. But sounds like it pales in comparison to the day that I only heard a little snippet about via text yesterday with you guys in the Tier 1 baseball team. Tell me what happened in your game yesterday.
Oh, the Tier 1s pulled out the victory. The grit squad, as we've coined the phrase, of course. Man, what an insane game yesterday in adult baseball. We jumped out to a 2-0 lead in the bottom of the first. Okay. And then in the top of the second, coughed up three.
So you're down.
Trailing one. And then the other team, like an inning later, they scored six runs.
Okay,
so we're down 9-2.
Yeah, it's pretty much over.
And then we had a massive, I want to say it was like the sixth inning, scored seven runs, tied it up 9-9. And then in the bottom of the eighth, I believe it was, we were able to scratch across one run, get the 10-9 victory because we ran into the old three-hour time limit.
Oh,
sorry,
we didn't have
guys.
To play tonight.
We would have loved to play this ninth inning, but we're not going to be able to. And we want to follow the rules here. So
you had to score and stall at the same time.
Our pitcher, our starting pitcher, Big E, he had the worst outing of his season with us, and then also finished the game and probably had a pretty decent stat line afterwards. But like when he had given up nine runs, we're like, there's no way he finishes this game.
Wait, and he pitched a complete game?
Complete game.
Wow.
Yeah, we never had, he locked in.
That's like that's like the start against the Marlins when he gave up six in the first, but stuck around long enough to get the win.
You got to eat some innings here.
Well, congratulations to you.
And
Woodsy was there yesterday.
Got to see him yesterday. And, he's excited to – I think they leave at, like, 9 a.m. I think their flight is today.
All right, so they'll be probably at the airport now, if I know Woods.
Yeah, they
like
they've
to
been
get
there for 2 hours.
Really, really early when they're checking in for a flight. So we wish him and the family a really great trip, and if everything goes well, he should be joining us tomorrow morning. Now, if you and I are here – that means someone else must be back in the studio. So let's say good morning to Adam Klug, who is running the board back in our Odyssey headquarters. Hi, Adam.
Hey, guys.
you can't do your own voice. You just talk in a normal voice, and that's your voice.
Hey, guys. Good morning. How are you?
We're good.
That's
how was your weekend,
like.
Adam?
My weekend was great. Loved seeing the Padres get a big dub yesterday and get that series split.
It was important. We'll have a fairly normal show today, even though we're out here. Golf tournament, I am supposed to advise everyone because I don't know if they're worried about an army of Tier 1s just randomly showing up. The event is just for the participants of the golf tournament. We're not really inviting everybody to, interrupt their day and come out to Loma Santa Fe. We're just out here for the participants of the golf tournament. They're raising money for veterans charity Salute to Heroes. So that's why we're out here today. Makes for a little bit of an odd Monday morning for us, but I don't mind it. I kind of like to get out of the studio every once in a while just to break
up
the routine.
We're at a country club, and if you show up and you're not invited and you're not supposed to be here, Country Club Ben will have you escorted in handcuffs and taken away.
Collar. Tucked-in shirt,
yep.
Either tailored or pants or tailored shorts that go at least down to, 3 inches above the knee. We're talking, country club attire. You cannot come out here in, a T-shirt or in, joggers or workout shorts and be appropriate. So
Hawaiian T-shirts.
We're just making sure you don't embarrass yourself by coming out here and getting kicked out by Judge Smales and the committee while they're out here because you're not following country club etiquette and rules.
Yeah, that's a no-no, but no, it's going to be a great morning, and I'm excited for what we got planned today.
All right, so Woods is on his way to Hawaii this morning.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to Hawaii?
I have not been to Hawaii.
You have not been to Hawaii. Is that somewhere that you would like to go at some point?
I would like to go. I know I get killed for this, and I understand. It's not a great comparison, but growing up in the Pacific Northwest, moving down to San Diego and calling San Diego home now for like the last 16 years, Hawaii was never super high on my list because I wanted to get out of the crappy rain and cold and be on the beach and have palm trees and nice warm weather. And now I have that. So Hawaii, does that make any sense at all? Like, Hawaii just wasn't, like, the highest on my list.
Fair enough.
I know it's not the same, and I know the water is completely different, and the beaches are completely different, and it's just, it's totally different. I understand that, but because of where we live and where I've now called home, like, moving to a much better San Diego climate wasn't, like, super high on my list.
I certainly love San Diego. I mean, if I had to pick somewhere to live, and I have, really, for my entire life, this would be where I'd want to live. But if I had to go to the beach every single day, I think Hawaii would be the easy choice. Yeah. And for me, you know, we went to the beach a lot. I did junior lifeguards growing up here in San Diego every summer. I mean, we'd do tons of beach days, and living in Encinitas, you know, close to the coast, is just something you did growing up. But there's just something different about the sand, and the water is obviously warmer. But for me, the biggest thing, I hated seaweed.
Ugh.
Like, when I went into the ocean and there was, like, any kelp at all, I was, like, so freaked out.
It's disgusting.
When I went into the water. Yeah. And there's the different kinds. There's that, I don't know the difference between the seaweeds, but there's kind of the grassy kind that floats around and, like, tickles you, and you think maybe it's, like, a fish or something coming up, because it's just kind of, you barely feel it. And then there's that orange one with, like, the pods and the, like, the kelp grows.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then you, like, step in that one, and you feel like you're getting, like, stuck, and it's, like, trying to pull at you. And when I went to Hawaii for the first time and I went in the water and it was clear and there was, like, no seaweed at all, and I thought, oh, I don't know that I'm ever going to be able to go back to beaches in San Diego.
Those, like, dark ones, are they, you can, like, pop them. They, like, yeah. you, like, step on them,
yeah,
and they,
so
pop.
They pop and stuff. And I was always kind of freaked out by the seaweed in our waters. Now, sometimes you get lucky and you get a perfect day and it's pretty clear out in the water in San Diego, and that's okay. But I just was constantly worried about, like, if it was a really seaweedy day, I just wouldn't go in the water. There's just no chance I would go in the water. But I know some people it doesn't bother them at all. But for me, it was always
I grew up big thing. Up in Washington, like, my buddy lived on a lake, so we would, like, go hang out there all the time. And when the water was high enough, you could jump in off the dock. Like, if you jumped and, like, went far enough down in the water, which wasn't that far being off the dock, you'd have the seaweed or whatever that you would, like, grow up from the ground and it would touch your toes. Ooh. And you would just, like, shoot up to the surface again. You're like, oh my God, I'm going to die. I'm going to die.
What's down there? What's
I don't
down
like
there?
This even a little bit.
What's living down there? You know there's creatures living down there at the bottom.
No, Keegan says, honestly, Paul, you'd love it out there. There's no denying. I'm not, like, trying to say, like, oh, I'm too good for who I wouldn't like it. Like, I know I would love it. It just hasn't been, like, a priority yet for me. Morning. There goes the tractor. It just hasn't been a top priority. I know we'll get out there eventually, and we're going to love it, but it just hasn't happened yet.
Well, I'm glad we've started doing some travel and go to Philadelphia. You went to the East Coast for the first time.
Yeah,
so
I don't travel a lot.
Yeah,
haven't traveled a lot. It's like, I don't really have many regrets, but I do wish I would have, like, when I was in school, had some friends do the study abroad and go for a semester or a couple of months at least and experience life in another country. Like, I regret not doing that, and I wish I would have experienced that. And then all the travel that you get to do once you're out there, wherever you go, just didn't get to do it. So trying to make up for lost time now.
All right, we will have, as I said, a lot of Padres talk. We're getting ready for the trade deadline, obviously, this week. Still no moves by A.J. Preller. Fans are starting. I can see and hear and feel the concern of the Padres fan base as this trade deadline approaches. I don't know that I've ever felt the Padres fan base more, I don't know what exactly the right word, I want to say maybe agitated or stressed maybe about the upcoming trade deadline, not knowing what the Padres are going to do.
Are you shocked that there hasn't been a move made?
I'm not shocked. You know, most of the time, the reason the trade deadline exists is because teams wait until, you know, the last hours before the trade deadline to pull a deal. If you were going to make an early season move, you would have made it a couple of months ago to address the offense. At this point, you're gathering as much information as possible. But we will talk all about that. We'll set the menu for the Monday morning program here coming up. First, though, let's get a check of traffic with Kelly Danick on a Monday here in San Diego on 97.3 The Fan. Paulie, are you okay? Paulie just got up during the traffic report, man, and hit his head on our it's like a staircase that's over here as you were reaching down for something.
Not built for somebody 6'4".
Yeah.
Reached down to grab something.
So Paulie's
on the stars
concussion
right
protocol list. You may be out up to 7 days.
I should probably go home, actually.
Yeah, Adam, we may need to place Paulie on the concussion list. You may need to send someone out here immediately to replace him until he gets the clearance, independent clearance from doctors
Holy
to go
crap.
Forward on the show today. If you do stick around, here's what we've got coming up. On a Monday for you, we will get to the Padres' wrap-up of yesterday's game. A wrap-up, a win, second in a row for the San Diego Padres, and a comfortable win at that, 9-2 over the St. Louis Cardinals yesterday. But I also want to get into, obviously, the latest rumors. Will the Padres truly be a buy-and-sell team at this trade deadline? Every sign, every report, every trend seems to be leaning in that direction, that the Padres will both trade away a piece or two. Could it be Dylan Cease? Could it be Robert Suarez? Could it be Jake Cronenworth? But will also buy to add to their offense and maybe pick up another starting pitcher. Why would they do that? It's pretty rare, Paulie, that a team, it makes sense to either buy or sell. Usually you're either in one position or the other.
Yeah, you don't see a lot of the mix. And that's where I am so confused. I have no idea what to expect this week with A.J. Preller.
Because if you're, you know, you're going along great and you've got plenty of flexibility, you're going to want to buy. If you've got a deep minor league system, trade away some prospects, go for a World Series title. If you're out of it and you're looking to the future, and you've got some expiring contracts, it's very obvious what you're going to do. It's sell. But with the Padres right now, they're in kind of a between situation, and they're looking to pull off really the best of every world. They're looking to have their cake and eat it too, where they can both improve themselves now and potentially for the future by making a series of savvy moves at the deadline. So A.J. Preller is perhaps facing his most challenging, like, next 4 days of maybe his entire general managerial career over the past decade plus, and how he's going to pull this off, working with probably multiple teams, trying to find the right buyers and sellers that are going to come up with a mix that will help the Padres both, you know, now and potentially into the future as well, which is going to be fascinating to watch.
Yeah, I really don't know. I mean, this is when you start thinking about, like, three-team trades and stuff that is just so difficult to forecast and predict at all. I mean, it doesn't sound like Leo DeVries is, like, they have any interest in moving him whatsoever. Salas, pretty much in that same category. I think if I could see either of those two being traded, I'm probably lean towards Salas, but I don't know that either of them are getting moved. So you're going to have to move somebody off your major league roster, and you're thinking, well, you can't just trade like Bryce Johnson and Trenton Brooks and get like quality pieces back to help you make a push for the pennant here. So somebody's going to have to go. It's going to have to sting. You're going to have to give up some good pieces to get some good pieces. I just don't know what they think, what A.J. Preller and his staff thinks they can part ways with and still be contenders and still, like, not change the trajectory of the team, because they gotta change the trajectory of the offense.
Well,
that's one thing I do know.
I think A.J. is playing a dangerous game that is potentially high reward but also very high risk with what he may be doing here this week. If it works out well, and we'll talk about this coming up, AJ will look like a genius and will be up for Executive of the Year in Major League Baseball. And if it works out poorly, he could lose, like, the faith of the fan base. He may even be out of a job in the next year or so with his contract reportedly set to expire after next season.
Mm-hmm.
He may be actually GMing for his future in San Diego this week with how these moves work.
It doesn't feel like that should be the case.
And I'm not saying that's fair or not fair.
I could not agree with you more. I could not agree with you more. I think it's honestly a little bit surprising that AJ hasn't already been extended, because otherwise, after this season wraps up, he's technically going into next year as a lame duck GM. And that's not something that typically guys with a good tenure do. Like, usually they will get extended, so maybe that happens during this offseason. I have no idea. Maybe it depends on how the Padres do this season. Also have no idea. If they make the playoffs, does he get an extension? That would be a weird look, probably.
Well, coming up, we will talk about the tightrope that A.J. Preller is trying to at least reportedly walk this week for the San Diego Padres, how it could work perfectly, and how it could blow up in his face if things don't go well. We'll get to that coming up.
Dylan Cease making his last start as a Padre tonight?
It's possible.
I don't know.
It's absolutely possible. We'll also have our Padres wrap up, get into the highlights from Jesse and Tony of yesterday's win, and then we'll go back and talk about the other games on Friday and Saturday with, you know, Manny and Wilson Contreras getting hit, the John Jay, Manny Machado beef that we didn't know existed, a feud between two Miami Major League Baseball players, and Manny's brother-in-law chiming in on Twitter with a rat emoji. There was a lot of drama.
Manny Machado Manny Machado deactivating his Instagram account on Saturday night. I know there are people out there that just laugh anything about social media or whatever. I think that stuff is fascinating. I think that stuff can be telling. I remember when, like, you know, like the Trevor Bauer news, when that all came out, was starting to come out, and his teammates started unfollowing him. Like, maybe it's a little bit amateurish, but I think that that is telling when, like, teammates unfollow each other. Like, that's their way of now publicly saying, like, yeah, there's something going on right now.
But we don't know what it is.
I have no idea why, Manny. I got some theories, but I think we got to talk about it.
So we'll talk about that. We'll have a regular Monday guest, Craig Elston, Padres Hot Tub, SDFC at 7:35 will join us. Dennis Lynn, our Linsider from The Athletic, will join us at 8:35. Plus, all of our regular features, Don't Do This. We'll play a little Real or Fake with Woods Not Here and us out on remote for a chance to qualify for a trip to Las Vegas. Our Rider Report and a special giveaway coming up later in the show. We got tickets to Heart, one of my all-time favorite bands, vocalists, the Wilsons, coming up later. They're going to be at Pechanga Arena on August 13th, and we'll have those to give away as well as we get started on a beautiful San Diego morning, a little overcast, but I love being out here at Loma Santa Fe Country Club. Thanks for joining us. Padres Wrap Up coming up next year. Benny and Paulie on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Let's talk a little bit more about this tightrope act that A.J. Preller may be trying to walk. And again, we're going off reports from national media, you know, kind of whispers around the clubhouse, but nothing has actually been said by the Padres, by A.J. Preller, by Eric Grubner about what the team is planning to do. And it wouldn't be the first time that A.J. has surprised the heck out of us by making a big move when we weren't thinking it was coming. So keep in mind that all of this remains simply speculation. But it does seem, at least, that from the minds of other GMs, based on conversations that they have had, that are then reported to the, you know, the national rumor mill types, that AJ is looking for offensive help, maybe looking for pitching help, but also dangling veteran pieces with expiring contracts like Dylan Cease and Robert Suarez in the hopes of, you know, maybe landing a big package for one or both of those guys in a market that's really thin on pitching. And of course, the downside to this is very, very obvious. If you traded Dylan Cease and or Robert Suarez, and then your pitching fell apart, Cease locked in for another team, you just run out of arms.
King gets pushed back 2 weeks.
Yes.
Darvish doesn't develop, you know, come into form.
The risk there is incredibly obvious of what you may lose by giving up a frontline starting pitcher, even one who has not performed up to expectations this season.
You're talking about giving up pitching to get offense and not really also acquire pitching?
No, he may acquire pitching as well, but will it be as at least potentially dominant as Dylan Cease can be?
It won't.
No. They're not going to pick up another guy with, you know, Cy Young-type credentials, a guy who's finished top four last year, top two a few years ago with the White Sox, like Dylan Cease, at this trade deadline. They'd be picking up more of a probably back end of the rotation guy to replace Dylan C. So the risk, and if it blows up in AJ's face, it's going to be very obvious. It's going to be very public. It's going to be somewhat humiliating. if the Padres fall out of playoff position after trading away one or two of their, you know, key core guys to the team. But the other side of the coin, what does a win look like in this situation? Well, if the Padres can take advantage at the top of the market here with two of the more valuable assets when it comes to at least expiring contract guys, guys that you can probably get a desperate team to overpay a bit for, even for a rental, guys you're going to be losing anyway, quite frankly, at the end of the season. I think there's very little chance that Dylan Cease or Robert Suarez are part of the 2026 Padres. So you get more than they're probably worth now from a team desperate at the trade deadline. And then you use a combination of what you've got to reinforce a minor league system that is not necessarily considered very highly ranked by the rest of the league, and use that to then trade and acquire perhaps controllable pitching. Maybe you pick up a guy. He might not be Dylan Cease, but maybe he's affordable and under control for the next 2.5 years that can be part of a rotation now and in the future. Maybe you add a bat, you know, a power bat that your lineup has been missing all season long, and someone to strengthen your bench. The tightrope that AJ is trying to walk is to both improve the team, yet also set them up even better going forward after this season at the same time. And I do believe it's a tightrope that can be walked. I think there is a path forward where the Padres could actually be better without Dylan Cease, at least, because, quite frankly, he has not been very good. I mean, he goes out, and the Padres lose most of his starts. He is 3-10 this year for the San Diego Padres. And if that means more Kolek, more Burgert, and more Vasquez, even potentially in the postseason, are we necessarily unhappy with that? I know we never, we always dread the days, oh, man, it's a Stephen Kolek day. I'm really worried about the San Diego Padres. Are they going to, this is going to be a rough one today. And then he goes out, gives them a chance to win, or like yesterday, pretty much dominates for six innings. Six innings, two runs, gave up the two-run home run in the sixth. And the Padres seem to win much more often than not with Randy Vasquez. Randy Vasquez has won more starts than Nick Pivetta. Now, not his record, because he oftentimes doesn't go the five innings, but the Padres have a better record in games that Randy Vasquez has started than Nick Pivetta, who's been one of the best pitchers in the National League, really, all season long.
Incredible signing.
Which has been amazing. Now, you could say that's not going to last. That's going to fall apart. It's already lasted 4 months out of the season. Are we not maybe missing what's right in front of our own eyes, that the Padres actually have a fairly deep pitching staff at this moment? And Dylan Cease is the albatross that's been hanging around their necks all season long. And if they subtract him, add other pieces, that this team actually could be quite a bit better for the last couple of months of the season. Am I putting my overly rose-colored optimistic glasses on that I think that is at least a viable path forward for the Padres?
You probably are.
Okay.
You probably are. No, I think it's weird. You know, we were texting a little bit about this yesterday, and like, I don't disagree with you at all. I feel like maybe, as fans of the team, we're stuck in this little gray area where we, when we think the playoffs, at least for me, with the postseason, and you think about your rotation, it's Darvish, Cease, King, you know, Musgrove obviously hurt, but like, you think of the big names that you're familiar with that have been here for a while, and that's who you just, like, your brain automatically goes to. Like, well, we have to start with them because we've seen them do it before. But you're absolutely right with Burgert, Kolek, and Vasquez. Sometimes not the most aesthetically pleasing watch on the mound, but like, they get the job done. They keep you in each game. It's kind of like the next wave of starting pitching here in San Diego, and we're just kind of in this mix of having like the old guys and the familiar names that we know so well, and this unproven getting the job done up till this point. Now, are they going to be gassed by the time we get to October? That's the question for me. Are they going to be able to make it to that point and be successful and help us in the postseason? I don't know. And that's why I think you still have to absolutely address some pitching here at the deadline.
All right, conversely, let's say they keep Dylan Cease, which I do believe is absolutely also a very possible outcome at the end of this week going forward. And he is in the Padres rotation the last couple of months and hopefully into the postseason. Mm-hmm. we will be on pins and needles wondering what Dylan Cease is going to show up every start. And then doubly, triply so in the postseason where Dylan Cease has not had a great track record. Now, could Dylan Cease get locked in for, you know, 10 starts in a row, pitch with like a 1.6 ERA, dominate strikeouts, and be the guy who lifts the Padres, you know, maybe to even a World Series title? Yeah, he's got that. He's got that talent in
him. We haven't seen it this year,
but we have not seen it this year. It is in there. So that's also a viable path forward. There's risk either way. There's risk holding on to Dylan Cease and counting on him for big starts down the stretch and in the playoffs. And there's also a big risk in trading him and, you know, worrying that he does lock in for someone else and you run out of pitching because you're relying on younger, less proven arms going forward. There's a risk on either side of the tightrope. And we're going to find out in the next 3 days, you know, 3.5 days before the trade deadline, which way A.J. Preller ends up going with this thing. And I think this is by far the most fascinating trade deadline that the San Diego Padres have had with A.J. Preller as general manager.
Yeah, I still find myself falling into the camp of I just don't know that Cease is going to get you enough pieces to where it's worth moving him. Like, the potential of Cease turning it on and locking in the second half, I still think is more likely than getting better production from whatever package you can get from him. Because I really don't know what his market looks like right now with his 3-10 record. Yeah, he's got his track record up until this point in his career that teams can go off of. But he has not pitched very well this year, and I just don't know that a contender is going to be like, here's some great pieces
And I do think that's part of the equation. I don't think AJ can go in going, I have to trade him or I have to keep him. I think, honestly, he is listening, and he has to be willing to trade him if someone knocks his socks off with a great deal that he thinks he can then capitalize on and turn into other players that are going to help him.
But if you were AJ Preller,
he also cannot trade him. If he's getting pennies on the dollar and people are going, I'm not going to offer you anything, then keeping Dylan Cease also has to be a very viable possibility going forward.
If you were AJ Preller, how hard or easy would it be to sell Dylan Cease? I think it'd be incredibly hard. Like, I think it's much easier for him to sell Robert Suarez or even Luis Arraez to a team that needs one of those players. I think they're easier to sell than Dylan Cease.
It's very possible that, it's always easier to just stand pat, go with the guys that got you here, and see how it goes. And if it doesn't, you'll probably get less criticism in the end. Honestly, it'll be on the players. If Dylan Cease doesn't pitch well, we're probably not going to sit here in October and go, man, AJ should have traded Dylan Cease. We'll just say, Dylan Cease should have pitched better. It's the safe thing for AJ to do is not a lot. It's acquire a bat or two with a lower minor leaguer. No. Just, you know, hey, I tried. You know, hey, those guys didn't come through. That I don't think AJ thinks that way, though. He takes big swings. He tries to hit home runs, and he goes for it. And we'll find out which direction he's going to go.
It's like prolific in the chat. He's like, give it up, Paul. He's watched. Like, I'm not, like, sitting here trying to defend Dylan Cease a ton. I really don't care. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't think he's going to be here long term. I think he's done. If he makes it past the deadline, he's gone after the offseason. I get that. But it's more just like whether they're good innings or bad innings, that's somebody that's going to go out there and eat 5 or 6 innings every fifth day. Are you more prepared for Dylan Cease hoping to turn it around, or are you ready for a bunch more Kyle Hart? You know, we talked about Charlie Morton going and get him last week. We were talking that he might be a guy that could get moved. Would you rather see him out there? Because somebody's got to get the ball every fifth day.
We will talk more about this and as well as the financial aspect of it that I've seen a lot of fans talking about this week. Are the Padres under, like, financial constraints going into this trade deadline? We will talk about that coming up. Ben, Paulie, we're live at Loma Santa Fe for the Salute to Heroes Golf Tournament this morning. Looking forward to that later this morning. But up next, after our check of traffic, Padres wrap up as they take a 9-2 win over the Cardinals and split their 4-game series and come back with a 5-5 road trip. That's next here on 97.3 The Fan.
From the 855 Get Ross Traffic Center, protecting San Diego after accidents or injury, here's Kelly Danick.
Got an accident clearing southbound 15 at Center City Parkway. Up ahead at Rancho Bernardo Road, stalled vehicle has been moved out of the HOV lane, so speeds are looking much better there. Fortunately, no other trouble spots on our roads at this time. I'm Kelly Danik with Ben and Woods, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
I love winning, man. I love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
Oh, yes.
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, brought to you by Hamul Casino Resort. Things are about to get real with the all-new Hamul Casino Resort, with gorgeous rooms and exciting new eats and drinks. It gets real this summer at Hamul Casino Resort, the player's place.
I want to go fast, but I want to go slow, and I want to go deep.
A pitch, Manny smacks it into right center. That's down to the base hit. Fernando will come in to score. Rye's going to go first to third. Machado chugging for two. Here comes the throw from Walker. It is off target. Hits Manny, trickles behind second. Arise now will come in and score. Great base running and awareness by Luis Arise, and great hustle by Machado, who goes into second. And the Padres have a 2-0 lead with nobody out here in the first. Machado takes off, a bouncing ball up the middle, backhanded by Donovan. Long throw to first base is just in time to get Merrill, as Tatis comes in to score. And an RBI ground out for Jackson Merrill makes it 3-0 here in the third.
Kind of impact.
Here's a bunt back towards the mound. Squeeze play fielded by McGreevy. Toss home, and the ball came out of Pajes' glove as a cheat slides in safely. And for the second straight day, the Padres execute a squeeze bunt. They now lead it 4-0. 1-2, reach four, grounded the other way. Arenado dives, can't get it. Rounding third, Cronenworth on his way. Burleson comes up throwing, and not in time at the plate. Jake slides in feet first. RBI single, Luis Arise, his second hit of the day. And the Padre lead is 5-0. First three games. Pitch here is hit on one bounce. Off the glove of Arenado, trickles into foul ground. Two more runs going to score as both Diaz and Arise check in. Machado ends up at second base with his third hit of the day, and the Padres lead it 7-0. Here's Burleson, goes after the first pitch in the air to deep center. Merrill's back at the wall, going to go into the grass, batter's eye above the center field fence. Burleson with his 13th home run of the year, a two-run shot in the bottom of the sixth inning. And the Cardinals are on the board at 7-2. Bogaerts in the air to deep left. Burleson at the wall. This one going to go. Xander Bogaerts with his seventh of the year. And a leadoff homer here in the seventh inning to extend the lead. It's 8-2. 1-1, breaking ball chopped to first base. Contreras hops up as it goes off his glove. It trickles into right. Fernando comes in to score, and it's now 9-2.
Today was a big-time character win. Long road trip, two high cities. You know, last day of the trip, you know, conditions are what they are, but our guys absolutely showed the mental toughness that's required to be a championship-caliber club. It was a very impressive mental toughness, demonstrate your will to go perform and compete, and then execute.
Mike Schell pretty happy with the resiliency of his club this weekend in St. Louis as they were playing in temperatures. Paulie, I read that the feels-like temperature on the field at Busch Stadium yesterday was 111 degrees.
Oh, my God.
On that AstroTurf. On the 10th game of a long road trip, their longest road trip of the season, through hot Washington, hot Miami, hot St. Louis, Padres did not wilt in the weather. Now, did they have a great road trip at 5-5? No, they did not. They had an average road trip, but they did not wilt at the end. They finished strong, got the two wins that they frankly needed to get to split that series against the St. Louis Cardinals. And possibly push that team from being buyers at the trade deadline back to being sellers at the trade deadline. Had the Padres lost both, or at least even one of those games, they may have had a whole other team to contend with in the last couple of months of the season for a playoff spot, and it may have been just enough. The Cardinals did trade one reliever to the Braves, Eric Fetty, this weekend. I wouldn't call that a sell piece yet, but definitely the speculation is they're listening more on Nolan Arenado. They're definitely listening on Ryan Helsley now, and they probably are sellers rather than buyers. So pretty important win yesterday and last two wins for the San Diego Padres this weekend.
Yeah, I'm not too concerned about the St. Louis Cardinals and what the series did for them. What I know it did for us is, you know, it's the tired trope of, you know, hey, go 500 on the road. I get it. You can't complain. It didn't feel like a good road trip, though. Normally, you would say if you go on the road and you split it, better, you know, it's a win, I guess. It didn't feel like they played very well. They didn't play up to their standards, I don't think, for the most part throughout this road trip. I still think, like, even the games that they were winning, I'm like, this team needs some reinforcement. This team really needs some help here. And I'm a little bit surprised that we're getting all the way up to the deadline without any moves being made right now by the Padres.
Well, let's give the team credit where credit is due, at least offensively yesterday. Nine runs, 16 hits. Yep. You know, they got production.
Got a laugher
up and down the
That's
order.
Two Sundays in a row now.
And Manny Machado was fantastic. Not just yesterday, but all series and really most of the road trip. He's now on a 5-game multi-hit streak after going 4-for-5 yesterday with 3 runs batted in. He was 11-for-17 in the series in St. Louis. And by the way, you know, Manny was wearing it. We'll talk about the game on Saturday, 2 hit-by-pitches. He also got hit by an outfield throw yesterday, yeah. Trying to, you know, hustle for a double and steal an extra base. He had a fired-up Manny Machado this weekend, and when you saw it, you could see that players were kind of getting behind Manny, and they wanted to win. They saw their captain really going all out for that victory yesterday.
Baseball is so tough for one guy to really put a team on their back, whether it's for a game, for a series, for a week, etc. It's hard to do in baseball. Like, there's just not as many opportunities. It's not like, you know, LeBron can't just take the ball up and down the court every time and just take over a game. You don't see that in baseball. It feels like Manny Machado, the last handful of games, that has been him. He has taken this team on his back. He has been just absolutely locked in at the dish. And it is so fun to watch when you know he's fired up and the intensity, like, comes up. It's just been so much fun to watch.
Luis Arraez also had 3 hits, so the top 3 in the order. 9 hits in the game yesterday. 5 runs scored, including 3 from Fernando Tatis Jr., 4 RBI. I mean, that's how you get to 9 runs pretty easily. And Arraez quietly, I didn't even notice this, Paul, I believe has a 10-game hitting streak now, and he's up to .291. He's flirting again with his usual .300+, and a hot Luis Arraez at the end of the season also could make a big difference for the San Diego Padres. But I think we also have to point out again, you know, Stephen Kolek did a magnificent job in that hot weather for 6 innings, the first 5 of them all shut out, and then had the big lead. Yeah, gave a walk and a home run to Alec Burleson, but got through the 6th inning with just 4 hits allowed, 2 runs, 3 walks, 2 strikeouts, lowered his ERA to 4.18 and picked up his 4th win of the season. I think the Padres were smart. They kind of shut him down around the All-Star break. They sent him down to AAA. Mm-hmm. He made one very short start, but for the most part, he's just been resting for the last, what, about 2.5-3 weeks? He's really just kind of waited for his call back up so he can hopefully be fresh and give the Padres some big starts coming down the stretch. That actually shows you what they think of Stephen Kolek, that they want to make sure that he's available, you know, in August and September and possibly October. And what the plans may be for Stephen Kolek is they did not want to overuse him at the middle of the season.
Was there a move made that I was just completely missed? Or when did Ron Marinaccio forgot he was still in the system?
No idea.
And he threw, what, 1.2 innings?
He did.
Inning and 2/3, and it looked pretty good.
Second time this road trip. Alec Jacob came in early on the road trip. They go, when did he get on the team? And then Ron Marinaccio comes in.
I missed the last the last part of the game.
Where did he come from? But
and when I saw the box score, I go,
3 strikeouts?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he was fantastic. I remember when they signed him in the offseason, like, hey, this could be a depth piece in the bullpen. Not until July, but here he was, you know, and keeping the four horsemen from having to play. We'll talk about the other games this weekend. Coming up next, Ben and Woods on a Monday morning here on The Fan.